always so excited, and I'm using a thesaurus and synonym, so I'm also jazzed, working on expanding it. I love worshiping with you guys. I love doing life with you guys. Happy birthday, by the way. And it's great. And so one of the things that some people ask me is, like, why do we do, and what does membership mean at Journey Church? And so we don't talk about it a lot, but membership here, it's like you don't get anything special except a round of applause, which is really nice. If you've never been clapped for, I'm just saying, it's nice. We could start a slow clap. I've always wanted to do that. You get that. But then really what membership here at Journey is you're saying that I want to do life with these people. I want to fight with these people. I want to pray for and with these people. And that's really what membership here at Journey is about, is that you're saying that I'm going to commit to this place and these people. And then you do that. And it's great. So, you know, like, if you want to be on certain things, we do ask that you're a member. So, like, if you want to be teaching in the back and stuff like that. Like, but it's really just saying that you're committed to fighting with and for these people. And so if it's something you're interested in. If not, there's no pressure. This morning, we are going to be starting our spiritual disciplines. We're going to start looking at some of these spiritual disciplines and really what they are and how they help. Now, spiritual disciplines, if you're not familiar with this term or what they are, these are things that really go back thousands of years. I mean, we're going to talk about them and how they apply to our Christian life. But, I mean, the Jews had spiritual disciplines, and a lot of what we have are really borrowed and modified from them with the understanding that Christ is the fulfillment of all things. But these are things that we do in order to become. Right, it's not about doing, it's about the becoming, like we talked about last week. It's about this idea of pushing into who God is, who he has made us to be, who he's made you to be, and then walking in that fullness. And so this week, we're going to start with rest. I feel like this is the best place to start. So we're just going to read from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, just a couple of verses here. And we're going to find that over the next couple weeks, as we press into these different spiritual disciplines, there's a lot of overlap, and that's very intentional, because as we're growing and becoming, we're going to find that different tools essentially work for different jobs. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was complete. And on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all of his work of creation." The word of the Lord. God completes his work, and then he rests. He rests not because he's tired, not because he's worn out, not because it was a rough couple of days. He rests to set a pattern for creation and humanity to follow. Adam has his first day of being alive. Adam's created on the sixth day. His first full day of being alive is a day of rest. There's nothing to contribute, nothing to do, nothing to add to what God has done. He has just created, and his first day is a day of rest. Rest is holy. Rest is good. Rest is right. Sabbath rest, and I know for some people, you might be thinking, Sabbath, that's an Old Testament word, that's part of the law, I'm not supposed to do that. Don't call it Sabbath then, just call it rest, because the Bible continually tells us to rest. Sabbath is just a fun word. God rests, and he tells Adam to rest. He tells creation to rest. And then after Jesus is resurrected from the grave, he tells his disciples, and then we read in the New Testament that we are called to this place of resting in what he has done. And so just like with the initial work of creation, our work of salvation is complete. There's nothing you add to it. You're not any more saved today than you were yesterday. You're not any more justified before God today than you were when you first came to Christ. You're not any more loved by the God of the universe today than you were when you first came to him and submitted to him. God loves you. You are justified. You are saved. You are set in him. And that's where we have to start with this idea of rest, is that we are a have-been people. We are a people who have been. Chia, could you do me a favor and just actually put the whole list of them up on the screen for me? What we're going to do is we're going to read through these verses, but I've got some homework for you this week. Everybody came to church and you're like, homework? What is this nonsense? Simple homework. I want you to take a picture of yourself. This one looks like a mugshot, but I don't think it is. I want you to take a picture of yourself, and I want you to put it in your Bible. If you have one, then put it in there. If you don't, go to one of the W stores, print it out. It's like 16 cents, and put it in your Bible in one of these verses. We're going to read through them because this is where you belong if you're a follower of Jesus. If you call Jesus Lord and Savior, then one of these verses is where you belong, you have been. Mine is Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. Have been. All throughout my life, my Christian walk, that's where I keep going back. When I start to get off track, that's where Jesus brings me back to and says, no, you died with me. That's where you belong. There's nothing you add to it, nothing we do to push it any further. Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Romans, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But now, since you have been set free from sin and have become enslaved to God, you have your fruit, which results in sanctification. The outcome is eternal life. But now we have been released from the law, since we have died to what held us, so that we may serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the old letter of the law. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Hebrews 10:10, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all time. Because you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. He himself bore our sins on his body, in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. 1 John, I am writing to you little children, since your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. This is amazing. Oh my gosh, like I'm writing this and I'm putting these together and I'm sitting in my office and I got some worship music going and I'm typing and I'm throwing my hands up because I have been. That's beautiful. We are have been people. It's done. It's finished. The work is complete. You have been saved. You have been healed. You have been delivered. You have been justified. You have been reconciled. There's nothing else to it. I get to just rest. You get to just rest. This is amazing. I wish I could bottle this feeling I have inside of me and throw it on you, but that'd be weird. But it's probably stomach acid. But it feels so good to know that I have been. That you have been. That's a place. That's why I want you to take your picture. Pick one of these. Put it in your Bible. If you don't have a physical Bible, get one or ask me and we'll get you one. And then you stick it in there and then you just keep going back to that. When you're stressed out and you picked one of these, I don't know, let's say Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace. We have peace because we have been justified. And that's where we start, is rest. All of these things let us start in this place of Sabbath and rest. Because Jesus said that rest is a gift. Mark 2:27, he told them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Sabbath is a gift. The reason God creates the Sabbath day, the holy day, the restful day, and then creates Adam and makes his first full day a day of rest is because it's a gift. It's just one of God's many gifts that he gives to us and just says, rest. And it's a holistic idea. It's not just this idea of sitting down and doing nothing. Like, if you know me, I don't do that. I can't sit still. Maybe it's too much coffee. Maybe it's ADD. I don't know. But I can't sit still. Sitting still is not restful to me. I don't find any rest in that. I find stress and anxiety because I'm like, nah, I need to move. So I get up, and like yesterday, I cleaned the garage, and that was restful to me. Allergies were killing me, but it was restful to me. Like, I got rid of trash. I put things where they belong, and then I looked, and I see this thing. It's complete, and I'm like, oh, that feels so good. Whatever it is, rest is supposed to be this holistic thing that touches your mind, body, and soul. That's what rest is supposed to be. With that, though, failure to rest is resistance to God's rule. Acts chapter 7 says, did not my hand make all these things? You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are always resisting the Holy Spirit as your ancestors did, you do also. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Resistance to acknowledging God as maker of all things is rebellion. The Bible tells us that over and over and over again. And when we fail to rest, we fail to acknowledge God as maker and Lord over all things. We don't think about that sometimes, but failure to rest is disobedience. He told us to rest. He told us to just fall into him and rest into him. And when we fail to rest, we're failing to give him the glory that he deserves. It's good for us to rest because it acknowledges that God is who he says he is. It proves faith and it allows us to recharge for the things that he calls us to. We're called to rest because in resting we acknowledge that he is God, that we are not. When we rest, we're acknowledging that he did what he said he did and he'll do what he says he'll do. We trust that he is who he says he is, and that's why it helps keep us obedient. 5 points on rest. Rest helps keep us obedient. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8 through 11 says, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us then make every effort to enter into that rest so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience." We place this idea of resting above all else because if we get this right, everything else lines up. If we get this right, then everything else falls into place because resting in God, we place all things under his rule and reign, and that is what kingdom living is all about. We want to be kingdom-minded people. The kingdom of God is supreme priority. And when we rest, we're acknowledging that fact because we're saying, God, you are who you say you are. You have done what you said you've done, and you will do what you say you'll do. Resting keeps us obedient. It could be all sorts of things. We can rest in our salvation, that we're trusting that he says, I have justified you, that if you have confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that I am who I say I am, then you're saved. Right? Resting in trusting in that can be that God will provide for your finances, not that you don't have to work. Resting in being obedient helps us know that God hears our prayers and we can trust that he is listening, but that doesn't mean we don't have persistence. Resting is this thing that helps keep us obedient because it's faith. And God says, those who approach me must approach me in faith. That if we want to receive anything from God, it happens by approaching him in faith. Rest is the vessel of which we do that. Second thing is rest implies work. God says that we are to work and we are to rest. Exodus chapter 20. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you or your sons, or your daughter, your male or female servants, your livestock, or the resident alien who is within you in your city gates. Rest implies that we're working, right? Work was not a consequence of the fall. Like some people have that idea that, oh, because of the fall, we have work. That's not what happened. We had work. Toiling is a consequence of the fall, not work. But rest implies that we're working. If all you're doing is resting, then you're missing the other 6 days of the week. Like rest implies that we're working, and that's the thing is we're taking a rest from the labor of our work. And it could be all sorts of things. Whatever your vocation, whatever your ministry, whatever your calling in life is, whatever you just happen to do for a job, we should be working. And not only that, we should be like the most amazing employees. Right? Bosses should be like, man, I know I can't discriminate, but I really wish I could hire more Christians because those people work. Whew. Like, they just put in the work. It's crazy. Colossians, whatever you do, do it from the heart as something for the Lord, not for people. Like, that's who we're supposed to be as believers, as people who, when we put in a day's work, people are like, man, that's crazy that you keep doing all that. Because then when we rest, they see that as well. And they see that we're resting because of the work that we've put in. Number three, rest is an act of worship. Luke 10, 41 through 42, the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice and it will not be taken away from her. Anybody ever call you a Martha? It's like an insult in the church. It's not quite bless your heart, but it's close. You know, quit being such a Martha. Right, Martha's running around doing all sorts of stuff, cleaning the house. Like, there's a Bible study going on at her house, right? And she's cleaning and she's cooking and she's doing all this stuff. And her sister's just sitting at Jesus' feet and she's getting ticked. She's getting upset. She's about to say something in front of Jesus that she doesn't want to say. And she just finally, she can't take it anymore. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, calm down. There's only one thing that's necessary. Mary has chosen it, and I'm not going to take it away from her. It doesn't mean Martha couldn't have had it as well. We're all invited into that one thing because rest is an act of worship. And we think of worship as what we did in this the beginning here this morning, is this singing and this lifting our hands and there, you know, you're crying and I danced a little and, you know, we tell April not to tambourine. Stop it, April, right? There's all sorts of things we think of as worship, but rest is an act of worship as well. It's in rest that we hear the voice of our Maker. It's in rest that we find that we can place our attention and our focus and our adoration on Jesus. It's in rest that we're not striving, and rest is an act of worship, and rest is an act of warfare. Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you, and you must be quiet. This is when Moses and the Israelites are fleeing Egypt, right? If you're not familiar with the story, they've been in captivity, slaves, for 400 years. 400 years, like, I'm watching a series on Netflix. I don't know if anybody's seen it, the Moses Testament. I forget exactly what the name of it is. Anyway, it's decent. It's not bad. For Netflix, like, it's pretty decent. But, like, these people have been in captivity, slaves, for 400 years. They've never, some of them, most of them, all of them, have never not known what it is to be a slave. Finally, they're allowed to leave. They think they're going to be allowed to just leave. It's going to be okay. They start leaving. All of a sudden, Pharaoh in his chariots and his army comes up behind them. So they're freaking out. They start moving forward. There's the Red Sea. What do they do? Moses, what have you done? You brought us here to die. Like, poor Moses, he's just trying to do his job. God told him to do this, and he's doing it. And now the people are like, you're getting us killed. Thank you so much, Moses. I hope you're happy. We're all going to die here. We're going to drown, or Pharaoh's going to kill us. Like, this is it. It's over. And God says, the Lord will fight for you. You must be quiet. The word here is harash, and it means silent, keep quiet, or cease. Cease and desist. Worship is warfare. And so often it's warfare because we need to cease. We just keep trying and we keep trying and we keep trying. And we are Americans. Not only that, we are Texans. We persevere. We can do anything. We push and we push and we push. And we keep fighting and we keep fighting and we keep fighting because that's the American way. But that's not God's way. God says at a certain point, you need to practice the spiritual discipline of shutting up. Sit down. Like, think of like a little kid, right? It's like somewhere, I'm thinking like, you know, 3 to maybe 8, right? That age right there, so often you've got to just sit them down and tell them, will you please just sit down for a minute so I can take care of this? You need to cease. At a certain point, you've done the work that you were supposed to do. You've done the fighting that you were supposed to do. You took the hits that you were supposed to take. And now at a certain point, in order to see victory, you have to cease. The Lord will fight for you, and you must be quiet. Again, we're kingdom-minded people. And in the kingdom of God, everything is upside down and backwards. He does things completely contrary to the way we think, because rest fights against the flesh and this feeling that we must do happen and we must be the ones to make it. Rest fights because it trusts God to move. And rest fights because it acknowledges that we're not in control. Rest is an act of warfare because it goes against the grain of the culture that we live in. Since the Industrial Revolution, if you study history, everything has changed. And now we're convinced that we have to produce more. We've got to work more. I've got to make more widgets. I've got to put in more hours. I've got to do this. I've got to do. And rest is an act of warfare because it fights against that and says no. Psalm 46. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. Be still. Stop. Cease. Rest and know that he is God. What if, like, when you get that, I got a letter in the mailbox, right? I haven't gotten it yet. Came in on Friday. I don't want to get it. I know what it is. It's a bill. I don't want to get the mail. If I don't get the mail, I don't have to open it. Isn't that how that works? I think maybe. It's from the IRS, so I don't think they're playing my game. I know what's in there. The reason I don't go get it right away is so that I can first rest. Rest. Trust that God is who he says he is and he'll do what he says he'll do. Instead of striving, instead of fighting, what if when we know that that letter is in the mailbox, what if instead of striving and fighting when we get that phone call, instead of striving and fighting when we know that we've got to deal with this thing, when they said that thing, when they accused us of this, when they were talking about us that way, what if instead of reacting, we started with surrender and ceasing and resting and trusting that he is who he says he is and he will do what he says he'll do. Rest is warfare because it fights against our flesh and it fights against the world trying to tell us how we should respond to a situation. Rest is good for us. And rest is an act of submission that demonstrates trust in God. 1 Kings chapter 17. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Wadi Cherith, where it enters the Jordan. You are to drink from the Wadi. I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So he proceeded to do what the Lord commanded. Elijah left and lived in the Wadi Cherith, where it enters the Jordan. The ravens kept bringing him bread and meat in the morning and in the evening, and he would drink from the Wadi. Rest is an act of submission that demonstrates trust in God. All of these spiritual disciplines are generally, for the most part, things that we do in the physical to acknowledge or experience something in the spiritual. To rest, to sit down, to stop striving, to stop fighting, to do what God tells you to do is this physical act where we're saying, God, I trust you. I believe you. I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is, and I'm going to rest and trust that you're able to do what you say you do. Rest is good. Rest is proper. Rest is holy. Rest implies work. Rest is an act of warfare. Worship. Rest is an act of warfare. And rest is an act of submission that demonstrates trust in God. Rest is good for us. It's important that we rest. And again, we're not resting from this place of like, oh, I hope everything's going to be all right. I give up, right? It's not even that. I mean, it can be that. There are plenty of times where that's really what God's trying to bring you to is you've been striving and fighting for so long and God says, Lance, I just want you to give up. So I'm going to keep pushing you down until you finally just give up so I can do something. Get out of my way. But rest is also this intentional thing that we can do. It's a lifestyle that we have where we just rest in who God is. And we say, Jesus, I trust you to do your work. And that's the key, is rest is only found in Jesus. It is in Jesus Christ alone that we find the rest that we need and we want. Like you can do all sorts of things, right? You can work hard, you can make that business, you can make that money, you can get a big fat bank account, and something can happen tomorrow and take it all away. But rest in Jesus and his finished work and who he is, that's something that's not going anywhere. This type of rest is only found in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so if you don't know him, we're going to have prayer teams up front. Please come forward. Let somebody pray with you. Experience true rest and peace, and it starts with salvation. But then if we're honest, a lot of us can go, no, I know Jesus, and I know I don't rest. Like, I've had to learn for me, what does rest actually look like? But rest, trust him, and just feel the love of your Savior. As we go through these spiritual disciplines, that's really what we're after, is we're trying to be more like and experience Jesus greater. He's already done it. We're starting with this place of rest. I have a thought. question I feel like is hanging in the air is, what stops you from resting? Like, what's the thing that's stopping you from resting like you should? It can be pride. It can be lack of faith. It can be unsurety. It can be all sorts of things. But I would ask that as we go into worship and we go into this time of response, that you answer that question. Is what's stopping me from resting the way God wants me to? If you're not resting well. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that you call us to rest. That just like you finished the work of creation, there's nothing we need to do. I thank you that you completed the work of our salvation, and there's nothing we need to add to it. But that we start from this place of rest. Jesus, if there's anyone here who needs you, either they haven't experienced who you are, or they just need to grow, Lord, I pray that you move in their heart. I pray that you help us answer the question of what's keeping us from resting the way we should. God, you are so good. You are so gentle and you are so patient with us. I pray that we can see you clearly and